love you before you finally understand. Eric Clapton.
How many times?
Almost killed by the COVID shot.
How many bridges I got to cross? How many times?
All right, I'm sorry to bifurcate these last two calls. We only got like 5 minutes left with JP Sears before these Green Berets come on. So Sean in Colorado and then Van in Arizona both are say they're Israelis or is Jewish. Van in Arizona, you got about a minute and a half. Sorry to make you go quick, but go ahead.
No, Jewish over here. I converted to Christianity at a younger age after in my teenage years.
Okay, so what's your view on this? Give us your view.
My view is America needs to stop electing bad politicians that are not loyal to just to the United States. A lot of the politicians are related to both Israel, or they're loyal to Israel and the United States. Right now, there's a race going on in Arizona. For instance, there's this guy. His name is Jay Feely. He was an NFL kicker. Okay, he's got all the signs of it. Do you want the same thing going on that it's been going on, where these U.S. politicians support Israel and support?
No, I agree.
Israel,
you can't serve two masters. It's like having two wives. I know Islam say you can do it. I can't imagine how that works. Thanks for the call. Your comment on that.
Yeah, it's like if you're the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, you don't also play second string for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just absolutely a conflict of interest. No question about it.
Yeah, and that's, and again, I don't get down on the level of this stuff and hate people. I literally don't. I don't secretly wear Hitler underwear. I am just, Israel wouldn't want us running them. They wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah, it's nobody wants foreign involvement. Yeah, it's looked at universally as a bad thing, just like we don't want viruses having involvement on how our health and physiology run. It's a foreign agent that we don't want running the show of our body.
Yeah, we can barely even run our country now. We don't need foreign powers. Sean in Colorado, Israeli on Good versus Bad Zionist. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to explain a little bit what I mean by good versus bad Zionism. I'm a Christian Zionist because I believe that, you know, the Jewish people have a right to that land. They have an everlasting covenant with God. That is their land. But also, we don't have to commit murder and genocide and support evil, right? We should oppose the Antichrist, oppose the fake Jews, the synagogue of Satan, and understand what are these fake Jews, the synagogue of Satan? Why are they called this? Well, there's this big lie, this misconception that all Ashkenazi Jews are the synagogue of Satan just because they come from Europe. And that's not true, that the Ashkenazi Jews have just as much right and are just as Jewish, you know, just as much right to the land as any Mizrahi Jew or any Sephardic Jew that's in Israel today. But as a Christian Zionist, we have every right to call out the criminals, and we should call out and advocate for the arrest of criminals like Netanyahu, and we would be blessing Israel technically if we did this, right? We'd be blessing America if we could arrest some criminals out here, Anthony Fauci, you name it, right? But to understand that there is an everlasting covenant with Israel and that the remnant will be saved midway through the tribulation.
And by the way, I agree with that. I agree with that biblically. But the whole Bible is about God judging Israel when it's got bad leaders. So whoever's in charge, we don't worship. If you understand the Bible, it's very clear.
Right. We're definitely not supposed to worship Trump either. And he needs to be saved. He's not a saved Christian yet. We need to be praying for him and what we could do better.
All right. Love your call. We're out of time. Thank you so much. JP Sears, you are kicking ass. People can find everything you do on your website. People should visit that right now. And again, all the different shows you do. Thank you so much for being here. Look forward to having you back. JP Sears, awakenwithjp.com.
Alex, thank you for having me and you just being the warrior that you are. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, people ask why I hold on. I'll be destroyed if I don't keep fighting. I have no choice. This is not courage. This is just survival.
Well, a lot of courage. I'm going to say it is.
All right, brother. We appreciate you. God bless you. All right, coming up, Nate Carnacchia and Gary Melton, both Green Berets, on The Case is Solved. It's a cover-up. No doubt now. Kirk, there's a cover-up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I've been an OFO for as long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years. and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
News today.
Do people know that there are people like us out there? Do they know? Because you go around X and you just think nobody's got any idea what's going on. Everybody's learning this all of a sudden. Nobody knew that there was an elite pedophile ring that was operated out of Israel and that Jeffrey Epstein was a part of. Like, nobody knew this stuff. Everybody's just figuring this out. And it's like, where have you been the last 5 years I've been talking about it? We have been ahead of the curve on everything. We still are years ahead of the curve on everything else. The information war is accelerating. So if there was any justice in this world, we'd be multi-billionaires, right? But apparently it doesn't matter if you're right. Doesn't matter if you're proven right over and over. Doesn't matter if you're taking on the biggest, most powerful forces that the society's ever seen and winning. Our society is set up by the evil forces, and we are constantly at a disadvantage. We're constantly trying to fight against impossible odds, but do it with one hand tied behind our back. And all that we ask is that you support us. All that we ask is that you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you get yourself a fantastic product. You don't even have to sacrifice. There's no sacrifice required here. We are going to win. We are continuing to win. We are continuing to set the standard when it comes to this type of coverage. We are continuing to tell the truth in a way and to a degree and at a volume. Nobody else can tell the truth. Nobody else matches us. Nobody else reaches the amount and the quality of people that we reach. We'll continue to do it. But if you support us, if you contribute to this mission, again, it's not even a sacrifice. We're not even asking you to give us anything. We're literally asking you to buy a great product that's like at a lower price. You can get it at the store. Like, it's so easy. It's so easy to support us. It's like ridiculous, which again is another thing that sets us apart. What we sell you is tangible, is physical. You can actually feel the effects, and the products that we offer are just best-selling products that sell out at your local grocery. Only we have the better quality at lower prices. You're going to get it anyway. So again, thealexjonesstore.com.
The prime suspect in killing Kirk. I first broke that cabinet meeting with Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard, the vice president, the president, and others when they ordered a cover-up and screamed at Tulsi Gabbard. The president agreed not to investigate foreign involvement. And we said, obviously a 30-odd six goes right to the neck at 150 yards. And if they can't match the bullet, there's a cover-up. And the media spun this everywhere that the defense claims it. No, the ATF says it's not a 30-odd six bullet. So I am disgusted by this. I am horrified by this. And I'm going to try to shut up as much as I can with Nate Cronacchio, who was on with us yesterday, and Gary Melton has been on before, and I'll have them back up soon, maybe this weekend or it's Easter, but or next week, a two-hour show on this, because this is a big deal. Okay, we have a cover-up. We have a cover-up of foreign involvement. You got disinformation agents spewing all sorts of stuff about Egyptian planes and Fort Huachuca. We now know, in my gut, It's never wrong to cover up the real evidence. Okay, but we know he wasn't shot with a 30-06. We knew it when we saw it. But now, to the credit of the ATF, they say it's not a 30-06 bullet. What is it? What is it? So Gary Melton, Paramount Tactical, Green Beret, huge record. I'm not going to get into it all. All the combat tours, Nate Kornacki, all his tours, all the rest of it, Valhalla, VFT, Paramount Tactical on X, all of it. We'll put that on screen. But I just want to, since we already had Nate on yesterday, I'm going to go to Gary Melton first just to give us his analysis for about 5 minutes. Then I'm going to go to Nate Kornacki to see if they agree with me and where we go from here, because this is revolutionary stuff. We have the Israelis openly saying the head of the ADL used pagers on Americans, the same tactics. We have open threats going on. I'm getting threatened. Again, I'm not on the Israel beat, folks, but this is a power vacuum. They're trying to come into it. They're trying to get us into a ground war. Trump's now indicating he's not going to do that. That's good. This is insane. So, Gary Melton, give us your analysis of this. Former Nate Kornacki with his take. Has this moved so quickly? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Alex. And Nate, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, so there's a lot of things that you said there that I definitely agree with you. And then there's some things that I'm going to push back on a little bit. And the first thing is, I think that this Daily Mail headline is one of the biggest pieces of, I don't know, it's just malfeasance on its own. So, you know, basically what we have is we have a headline, and then we actually have what the article says, and then we have what the analysis actually states. And so what the Daily Mail headline says is that the bullet used to kill Charlie Kirk did not match the rifle allegedly used by the suspect. Then the first paragraph says this may not match. And then we actually look at the ATF analysis, and what it says is actually it's inconclusive. The other part of this that nobody's talking about is we have a Fox News article right here. And this came out yesterday, basically in response to the Daily Mail. And look, I think hopefully we agree, or to some extent, like the Daily Mail is a UK trash rag, in my opinion. And I think they're reporting on this and the inaccuracies behind it. And the clickbait headline, I think, really covers that. But the Fox News article says the defense has been provided with an ATF summary report, which indicates the ATF was unable to identify the bullet recovered at the autopsy to the rifle, allegedly. The other thing that it says right here is that that's not being covered. The testing did positively confirm that the spent shell casing found at the scene matched the suspected murder weapon. So, you know, that's kind of where that's at. And you know, that's where we're at with this. So I don't think that nothing has changed, in my opinion. Me and Nate knew back, going all the way back to September, that we had a fragmented round. That was being reported. Candace Owens reported it two times, one on September 25th and another time in December, right after she talked to Erica Kirk. So, look, my take on this is we can talk about additional involvement, and I'm open to that. And that's one of the things that I have said at the beginning of this, that I do not think that Tyler Robinson acted alone. I do think that there's more people involved. And even looking at the social media posts that predicted this, I think there's more people involved, and it could absolutely have foreign ties into it. But what I'm not seeing is evidence that says that Tyler didn't do it. That's where I'm at with that.
Sure, well, especially here's where I'm at. The trannies say they're going to kill him, 10 of them 3 days before, six the day before, he's dead tomorrow. Obviously, I talked to Team USA. They said no cash. Said, well, we can't convict him. They may have been involved. We're not doing it. We know he ordered the stand down. My point is that that's not a 30-06 and 100-something yards shooting in the neck. I mean, come on, people. And so that's what adds credibility. The ATF saying, you know, inconclusive, doesn't look at the same bullet. I get what you're saying. The Daily Mail is probably basically an MI6 cutout. But let's get Kornacki's take on this. Nate Kornacki, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Gary really haven't been that far off from the very beginning. We did content the first week together. I think Gary will say himself the idea of a 30-06 not creating an exit wound is extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely. We differ on some things, but let's debunk the idea that that this new report doesn't mean anything, just from a court of law standpoint, okay? Because what you're seeing people try to say is, oh, well, they can't conclusively match the round. That doesn't actually mean the round's not matched. Okay, well, we're talking about evidence in a court of law. And when you're talking about the word conclusive, it means something in a court of law. It means you have to conclusively match, let's say, a bullet to a gun, DNA to a rifle. Otherwise, that evidence is not going to be permissible in a court of law for the prosecution, so much so that the defense is already adding this in as exculpatory evidence. If you don't know what that means it's going to change the rifle from being evidence for the prosecution to use to find Tyler Robinson guilty to the rifle being used as evidence to prove he is not guilty. If that happens and the judge permits that.
And you're Zoom just cut out. We'll go back to you as soon as you're... Let's reconnect with Nate Kornacki. While he's reconnecting, counter that or respond to that. Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that it's going to be issued as and submitted as exculpatory evidence. I just... It's still going to be challenged by... Like, we have so much circumstantial evidence. We have DNA evidence on the firearm, DNA evidence on the spent cartridge. We have DNA evidence on the screwdriver. We have... I mean, we got a lot of evidence. We have him admitting to it.
But what I'm about a 30-odd six not shooting through somebody's neck?
Yeah, look, what I've always said on this is that it's atypical. Can it absolutely happen? Yes, it can, especially once we get into some of the internal, external, and terminal ballistics of this. One of the things, what I will say is that we can't rule it out. And we have lots of examples of this, whether we're looking at, look, Martin Luther King was shot with a 30-06 at 65 yards. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy around Martin Luther King, but what I've never seen challenged was whether or not it was a 30-06. So he was shot at 65 yards, hit him in the jaw, and hit his spine and then deflected downward. We also have somebody that both Nate and I know, Chuck Ritter. He was shot with 7.62 by 54 at 25 yards. It actually hit him in the spine, deflected downward. Not only did it not exit, he didn't die. And he stayed in the fight. So, you know, the fact is there's lots of different variables. And one of the posts that I put up on X and just pinned it, because I don't think we can exclude 30-06 completely. And the other thing that I've done since this, my stance on this has evolved. Because one of the things that I do, look, we teach long range for a living. We have our own line of long range guns, been doing this for over 20 years. One of the things that ballistic experts don't do is that we don't spend a lot of time looking at terminal ballistic reports. We don't look at some of these different pathology reports, definitely specific to 30-06. Once you start going down that road, you see that this is less atypical than people think. And then here's just some ballistic facts that I want to share with. And everybody can go check this out. I got this tweet pinned on my X account. 30-06 ballistic facts. You cannot determine or predict any terminal ballistic outcome without knowing the following variables. Ammunition source, factory or hand loads. Ammunition type, low recoil, varmint, big game, or dozens of other commercial options. Ammunition condition, old, new, exposed to elements or moisture. Projectile weight. 30-06 is available from 55 grain to 200
grain. Sure, give me subsonic, any of that. And Nate Kornacki cut off, so I'm going to come back to you on that.
Sorry.
Just real quick, here's my bottom line. I'm going to go to Nate Kornacki. I broke it. It's confirmed now. They ordered no looking at accomplices, domestic or foreign. Now you got the ATF saying this is an inconclusive thing. Okay, nine times out of ten, it goes through the neck. All I'm saying is this smells to hell. Go ahead, Nate. Respond to what you just heard.
Sorry, my computer crashed a couple times, guys. Not sure.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, let me go back to what I was saying about the conclusive evidence and why this is a big deal. It is a big deal in a court of law because now, as I don't know where I got cut off, but if you cannot conclusively match the rifle to the gun or DNA to whatever evidence, it's no longer going to be permissible evidence for the prosecution in the court of law. And we're already seeing that with the defense that wants to now change it to exculpatory evidence, which will actually make the rifle being used as evidence to exonerate Tyler Kirk. Now, if they can actually do that, they may get the trial thrown out beforehand. We don't know about that for sure. But also, the reason why this is so important is not just that, but it's also people are completely forgetting that the murder weapon was not found at the scene of the crime. The murder weapon has to be tracked back to Tyler Robinson. It was found 300-400 meters away on someone else's private property. which means you have to be able to tie that rifle back to the actual shot. You can do that through two ways. You can do it through ballistically matching the round to the rifle used, or the DNA on the rifle matching to Tyler Robinson. Okay, well, there is DNA of Tyler Robinson on the rifle. What's the other problem? There's six other people's fingerprints and DNA on that rifle, which is going to make that also not conclusive, because how do you prove Tyler was one of the seven people here whose fingerprints actually took the shot on that rifle? Can you prove that? Maybe you can prove that through, I don't know, video evidence, maybe that we haven't seen yet. But at the moment, the way it's looking is that the rifle could be completely thrown out as evidence in this trial completely. Because if you can't attach, again, the word conclusive means something in a court of law. Very specific. Evidence is not working. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it matches. Maybe it doesn't. No, no, that's not how it works. You don't get to use that as permissible evidence against Tyler Robinson in that case. So
what is your interpretation of the ATF report? What is your interpretation of the ATF report versus Gary Melton's?
Well, I didn't get to hear what Gary said about it, but what I think is what they're saying is that there's fragmentation of the round, which I think me and Gary had talked about months and months ago. Sorry, Gary, I didn't get to see your what you were talking about. There's fragmentation of the round inside Charlie's neck, which I think we all thought, and that cannot be matched to the 30-06. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's not a 30-06 bullet. It means we can't match that fragment to that gun, which, again, in the court of law, that is going to be a big deal. But my thing is this. Now we just have a fragment, but we also had TPUSA's story, Andrew Colvett, who came out and said himself, told Stephen Gardner, who was on my channel, Officer Tatum, all these people, that what happened? Charlie Kirk was shot in the T1. That bullet traveled down his neck about 6 inches, and the entire bullet lodged in his, shot in the C1, traveled down, lodged in the T1 just below his, or just above his shoulder blade area. And so is there not a full round inside his body?
Well, I'm going to say this. One hour after that came out, I reported on that, and then I had Colvett call me and say, no, I talked to the coroner. It actually went down the spine, all this stuff. I said, okay, good. I'll put that out. I'm not saying, I don't think they're involved. I'm not accusing them of anything. But I mean, that's exactly where we are, is that the story just kept changing.
So let me finish my point here, Alex. My point with this is, okay, if we're going with what the ATF says as truth, which I guess we will, we have to at the moment, and there was just a small fragment that they could pick out of that 30-06 round that they couldn't match to that bullet. So you're telling me that a 30-06 round went in, hit the soft tissue of Charlie's neck, and evaporated into basically dust, like a frangible round would. We'll talk more about that in a second. And just a tiny little fragment is all that's left, also creating no exit wound from a 30-06 from 140 meters. I mean, I know Gary will even have to admit that that's very, very, very unlikely to happen. And even with frangible rounds, I did see you mention frangible rounds, accelerator rounds, varmint rounds. We've tested them all ballistically. Between me, Dan from Heavy Duty Country, Jesse on Fire, we've tested 30-06 frangible rounds. We've tested low-grain varmint rounds. We've tested every round that can come out of the 30-06. Every single one, including the frangible, including the varmint rounds, blows straight through things way stronger than a human neck. So what I would encourage, and I'm still waiting for this, we've done our due diligence on this. We've done the ballistic testings on every type of 30-06 round that exists. We can't get a single one to not blow through straight anything way stronger than a human neck. So I would like to see someone come out and recreate the FBI narrative shot. Show me a 30-06, shoot it from 140 meters, and show me no exit wound in a ballistic dummy, and have that round lodged. Just
well, let me ask this question and have Gary Melton respond, because we're trying to figure out the truth here. I think you both have credibility. What I'm asking here is about the ATF report. What is Nate Kornacki is saying that ATF report says versus what Gary Melton is saying? Because Gary, you're kind of saying they're saying it's inconclusive.
Yeah, look, they're going to throw out that element of the testing. That's what they're going to use as exculpatory evidence. They can't just throw out the rifle. They can't say, hey, we can't use this. That's not how the court of law works. They're still going to be able to submit the fact that, hey, you know what? The brass actually did match exactly to the rifle itself. They're going to have the DNA on the gun, on this spent cartridge, which I think is really important with this. And then, of course, you have, I mean, look, the strongest element of this is the parents and their testimony and what they have stated in the charging documents. And then we already know that the prosecutor is going to be calling both parents up to the stand and Lance Twiggs himself. So we know they're actually testifying for the prosecution. And if they get up there, and I know this has been alleged, like, oh, this is all Fed slop. And I do think it's a little odd that people want to say, oh, this is all made up evidence and it's Fed slop. But when you have the exact same federal agencies or the exact same departments come out and give exculpatory evidence, now we believe it. But at the end of the day, like, the parents are going to get up there and they're not going to be called to the stand if they're not going to confirm every single thing.
Sure, but let me just add this right now. You have Jolly and West with Jack Ruby killing the patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. You have him with Sirhan Sirhan. You have him with McVeigh, all of it. You look at Tyler Robinson. Let's put him up in court. He looks like a mind-controlled zombie. So just because you got somebody saying they did it, they can get me with electroshock therapy for a month and I'll say I'm the Easter Bunny. So my point is, when we have the FBI confirmed ordering, don't look at foreign involvement or accomplices, then you add the ATF saying inconclusive. To me, this is major red flags. Do you agree, Gary, there's major red flags here?
Yeah, if that's exactly what happened, then there is red flags. And that's one of the things that I've said from the very beginning of this, going back to all the trans shootings that we've seen. We have a hugely disproportionate amount of trans shooters that are doing, you know, school shootings, mass shootings, compared to what's going on.
No, there. I agree. There's definitely a trans terrorist issue.
And so one of the things that I tracked down, I actually interviewed Chase Hughes, and that was what I asked him about. I said, Chase, look, we have something going on here that doesn't make sense, you know, from a mind control, from a, you know, being able to target people online, psychologically profile people online, and then realize what's going on. Is there something that makes trans people or people like Tyler Robinson that has clearly identified himself as some sort of trans hero or protector that would identify them as, you know, a lot more suggestible? And he said, absolutely. He's like, the moment that you're...
Yeah, there's no doubt they're a mind control cult. Let's get into that. Let's go to break. There's fair time here. Nate Kornacki, counter that with 2 minutes before we get a break.
Well, I'm not going to counter that.
That's one of the counter your response to that.
Yeah, that's one of the things me and Gary have agreed on the entire since day one. We both believe there's some type of external involvement. We both believe Tyler Robinson. I believe Lance Twiggs also is involved. I've said that from day one. I just do not believe the 30-06 narrative. I just refuse to do it because, one, through, you know, just statistical probabilities of this being reality, just basic, you know, rationale tells me that doesn't make sense. It's way too bizarre. It's the odds of it are so low. And then now when we add in things like, okay, well, ballistically, we can't conclusively match the round to the rifle, it makes me even more skeptical. Because again, it's already so, so unlikely that this is the rifle used, and that's the wound that we saw. And so for me, I've never really been able to point my finger and say, who's responsible for this? Is it a trans shooter? Is it our greatest ally? Is it the federal government, the FBI? I don't know. Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it Iran? I don't know, but I 100% believe there was high-level professional involvement that either facilitated some MK Ultra-style thing with Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs to get them involved, or high-level professional that maybe is a second shooter. I don't know, but I do believe Tyler Robinson, and people can kind of get upset about that, but I believe Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs both were involved. I just don't believe the FBI narrative for how it was carried out. And that's, I've had that feeling, I've had that stance since day one.
All right, so let's come back then and talk about where this goes now, because you have the former head of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, saying he's ready to testify that there was a cover-up. How does that affect us, and where does this go? Because I'll tell you, I don't know Israel did it. You see all this lining up. That's why I'm saying we have to look at that. And I was a guy day one saying, don't say that without evidence. Be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells, And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishealthstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishealthstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishealthstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
So we have to look at what happened to Charlie Kirk back in September last year in the context 7 months ago, or whatever it is, of what's happening now. And we have Joe Kent, which already had other sources, not him, about that meeting saying don't look at foreign involvement or domestic leads. And I talked to TPUSA high level. They said, yeah, we talked to them. I don't think they're involved at that level because they were very open with me. They're like, yeah, we. Patel's like, oh, well, they might have been involved. We can't prove it, so we're not going to prosecute them. So we already have it confirmed. They're saying they'll look at other people. Then you have the ATF saying it's non-conclusive. That's a very corrupt agency. I'm surprised they didn't cover it up. Who knows what's going on now? They want to ask both of our guests, just in general, about the war, Iran, all the mixed signals that are going on, what the military community is telling them. It's crazy. Let's go back to Nate Kornacki of Valhalla VFT before we go back to Gary Melton of Paramount Tactical. And just putting bookends on, take as long as you need, on Kirk, where this should go, what you think, and what you think of Joe Kent saying he'll testify, and they're saying, oh, he's a traitor. He's going to let the guilty guy go. I think it's reasonable if he's in a meeting and they order a cover up connections. I think Tyler Robinson thinks he was involved. But I mean, I'm saying trannies are a real threat and they're supporters. I mean, I don't know what happened here, but at the end of the day, where do you think all this is going? That's a lot of questions there, obviously. But just in general, Joe Kent coming out saying, no, there was a cover up here.
Well, I mean, I'll say up front, Joe Kent is extremely, extremely respected in our community. His resume is insane. I'm going to trust if he comes out and said that's what happened. And again, it was a huge story back when it happened. And it's not the only, it's not just Joe Kent, the National Counterterrorism Center. We also had Mike Glover, another fellow Green Beret, come out and say one of his high up sources and friends in the CIA also told him the CIA was also blocked from investigating foreign involvement into this at the same time Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard, and the National Counterterrorism Center is. So the first thing that needs to happen is Kash Patel needs to be drugged and subpoenaed and questioned for why this happened. If this is true, which I'm going to assume it is because people that I respect and trust have, from different sources have said this is true and happened, we need answers on that. Why would the FBI have shut down other intelligence apparatuses from wanting to look into foreign involvement? It seems like that's what you would want to know. Whether it doesn't matter what country it was, China, Russia, Israel, Iran, I don't care. I'd want us to know if there was some foreign involvement in the assassination of an American citizen on our soil, right? We would want to know that. So first thing that's got to happen, Kash Patel needs to be drug in, subpoenaed, and questioned for why that took place. Why that took place, I don't know. It could be something as simple as Kash Patel wanted all the credit for himself. It could be something as nefarious as a full FBI cover-up on this. I don't know. It's all conjecture on my part at this point. But as for Joe Kent being willing to testify, yeah, if he's willing to testify that that he believes that, then, you know, I think that's a credible source. And also, another thing I think is interesting, and this is not, I'm not still willing to say who did it, right? I've never thought it was TPUSA personally. I did an entire episode, 30-minute episode on the security team and broke down why I don't think they were involved. I think they're just incompetent. But I do believe there was a foreign involvement. And what really, really is making me suspicious right now is the fact that it's the new war in Iran. And then we look back at Charlie's actual ideology on war with Iran. And she was incredibly anti-war in Iran. I've shown 15 different clips of that, so much so that he went in and tried to get Donald Trump to stop the first 12-day war. Joe Kent even confirmed that in the Oval Office together. It's very, very suspicious to me that Charlie was killed and everyone else who has vocally gone and to Trump to try to get him to stop the wars in Iran. Tucker Carlson was immediately smeared. They try to run him as a foreign agent through Iran. Joe Kent comes out in resistance to this, immediately smear campaign. So I'm starting to wonder why every single person who has a big voice that comes out against the war in Iran is sort of trying to be, you know, censored, deplatformed, or, you know, disappearing completely. I think it's getting very, very suspicious to me because obviously this war is super, super unpopular with the American people. And honestly, with Charlie Kirk, you can't deny Charlie Kirk. If Charlie Kirk was vocally against this war right now, it would be a massive, massive problem.
He called me a couple times, but once, keep pressure on Epstein, good job. Keep pressure on Iran, we got to stop this, which he was right. And now Joe Kent said he told him that in the Oval Office. And then Mark Levin says he's a liar. Bongino says he's a liar with no proof. They were there. I told people they were at the meetings. So what is your response, Gary Melton, overall? What do you think is happening here?
Yeah, look, I'm completely open to the idea that there's foreign influence. As a matter of fact, when you look at the SLC Trans Gun Club, the leader of that is an Iranian trans person that was definitely pushing a lot of violent rhetoric, to say the least. Now, they are reporting that is being investigated. There's multiple reports on that. Look, I got a different take on the war, and I got a different take on Joe Kent personally. But look, I want all of this stuff investigated. What I don't like is this idea that people are intentionally, in my perspective, intentionally trying to say that Tyler Robinson didn't do this. I think there's so much overwhelming evidence that says that Tyler Robinson is the killer. Outside of that, I agree with a lot of people. Like, I think Lance Twiggs was involved for sure. I think we definitely need to look into the different ties to trans activists in the area. We have social media posts that are actually going and predicting Charlie's death. That hasn't been looked into. At least it may be being looked into by the FBI. I don't know, or Utah. But what I can tell you is what I see time and time again, this is something that we've all talked about going back to December, is that there does seem to be a PSYOP. It's like, hey, don't pay attention to this. I want you to pay attention to Egyptian planes, to Mitch Snow, to this plan down in Fort Huachuca. And none of that makes sense to me. And, you know, we've debunked a lot of those things. But the idea to me that Lance, the you know, Tyler Robinson didn't take the shot, I think that's hard for me to reconcile. I am curious, just off the top of your head, Nate, you know, you said that you felt this was a sophisticated conspiracy. And what I can't reconcile with that is like, okay, we have this very sophisticated conspiracy. Let's say the U.S. military, Israel's involved, the French Foreign Legion, whoever's involved, and they plan this down to a T. And it's so sophisticated and so successful that they get away, that they pull off the hit, they get away. And like the one thing that they screw up is, oh, we shot them with .22 or whatever. We shot them with a different caliber, but we pinned the Patsy with a 30-06. That's the thing that I can't reconcile and doesn't make sense to me. I just don't think that even if you and I were planning this operation, like we wouldn't miss that detail. That's kind of a doozy.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying there. But as for this high-level sophisticated, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's professional involvement. Professional involvement could be one Mossad operative. One Mossad operative that runs this and helps Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs set all this up. And again, I'm not staking my claim that there is a second shooter. My thing is, again, the 30-06 doesn't make sense. And I've never seen Tyler Robinson with the 30-06, not going to the roof, not leaving, right? So could it be Tyler Robinson plants that gun? Is he super sophisticated? He plants that gun somewhere else and uses a collapsed AR-15 in his backpack that we saw him go to the roof with, takes a shot there? Sure, I don't know. I don't have all the answers to that. But as for that, this has to be some super sophisticated thing. First of all, Tyler Robinson got away. So pretend like from the scene and that is not necessarily the easiest thing ever to do. Clean infill, clean exfil, takes the shot, kills the killer, gets out. And the only reason he gets caught is, you know, because the family friend, Boy Scout leader, fellow sheriff recognizes him in a picture and convinces Tyler Robinson to turn himself in. And so that's later. So, yeah, it is a little bit sophisticated to pull off an assassination like this.
I would disagree with that. That's not actually what happened, according to the charging documents, according to the only person
according to Sheriff Nate Broxby, who, by the way, Gary, I'm sure you're aware, just resigned from his position about 2 hours after this news story.
I was about to say, what's that resignation all about?
No,
that looks really bad.
Hold on. You can go back and pull up Nate Broxby literally saying on film in a press conference, debunking Tyler Robinson's family from turning himself in and saying, my personal friend who used to be a sheriff for 20 years was the one who used to be Tyler Robinson's Boy Scout leader, recognized him from the picture. He's the one that contacted the family. He's the one that went over to Tyler Robinson's house and convinced Tyler Robinson to turn himself in. The sheriff said that. The same sheriff, Sheriff Nate Brooksby, who was in charge of this whole thing, who has now just resigned yesterday.
Well, they're going to have a real problem when they get the parents on the stand, if that's the case, because I'm just going to...
He said that in a press conference, Gary. That was the sheriff. That's from the sheriff's department.
What I'm saying is that what we have in the charging documents is that Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him...
Right, but the charging documents were put out before this press conference.
Okay.
Charging documents were put out, like, what, 6 days after?
I mean, both things can be true is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Both things can be true. But I'm saying that sheriff said that his parents did not turn him in. It was this sheriff's personal friend, who was a sheriff for 20 years, I forget his name, who is the one that recognized him from being Tyler Robinson's Boy Scout leader. And he's the one that contacted the family. He's the one that went over and convinced Tyler Robinson, it's better for you to turn yourself in than for the sheriff's head.
That's actually, and that portion is stated in the charging documents. What I'm saying is that two things can absolutely be true. I do think that he helped with coordinating him being turned in. I think all that's true, but I reject the idea that his parents didn't recognize him. I reject the idea
that... What's your thoughts real quick? Because, I mean, you got to be able to explain this. Why would the head sheriff, part of the investigation, resign about 2 hours after the report came out that the ballistics don't match the ATF? That's two coincidences.
I have no idea.
The coincidence on that?
I have no idea. He may have a completely logical explanation. What I'm not going to do is take a void of information and just fill it with whatever I want to. I mean,
I'm just saying you can't tell me that's not bizarre.
It is bizarre. A lot of things about this have been bizarre.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's true.
Like a 30-odd six knot shooting through somebody's neck.
I mean, look, it is. Look, I think there's some very good plausible explanations for that, and we're going to find out. I think we're going to find out when, to me, this is resting on all the things being alleged are essentially going to be answered once we get the parents on the stand, as far as I'm concerned, because they're going to confirm.
Okay, we'll see. Let's shift gears now. We have left. It's been an amazing interview. Only like 30 minutes left. Both of you, Gary Taggart or Nate Taggart here, what do you make of Trump and Iran? And we've had victory. Oh, they're making a deal. They're not. Just constant, you know, stories changing. No missiles are hitting Israel. Tons are getting through. They arrested thousands of journalists in the Middle East reporting on it. What do you guys as warfighters think of this situation?
Ahead, you want me to go first, Gary? Me personally, I'm just super ideologically against any more wars for American blood for sand and oil. Period. Just full stop. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to convince me that we need to be spending hundreds of billions of dollars and spending U.S. service members' lives for this war in Iran. You're not going to convince me of that. And you're not going to convince the majority of the American people of that. The other thing, and I think this is just in my personal opinion, I'm not going to get into, people are talking about who's winning. The United States winning? Is Iran winning? Who's winning? To me, everybody's losing. And the world's losing, Iran's losing, the United States is losing. If it means Donald Trump just comes out, declares victory, leaves, we leave. If we do that, I think it's going to be a huge problem now with the Strait of Hormuz, because Iran most likely is just going to have full control over the Strait now. And if you didn't know, they're charging $2 million per oil tanker to get through the Strait right now. If you don't know what that's going to equate to year over year, it's $80 billion in new revenue to Iran that they didn't have beforehand. And if you don't know about Iran's national defense budget is only $10 billion. So we're about to what? Just 8x their defense budget for new money. And then also the global oil prices, global oil commodities aren't coming back down if we just leave. So we're in a rock and a hard place.
And Trump says he may just leave it to the Middle East to fix.
And which they're not going to be able to fix. All they're going to do is this is just going to drive everybody to bricks. If you think about all our Asian allies, this is another thing that pisses me off. All our Asian allies, this isn't affecting us nearly as much as it is Australia. And I was in first place in Philippines and Australia and Korea and Japan. And it's not China, right? Because China's still free-flowing the oil. I mean, we already have the Philippines just announced that they're going into massive restrictions, lockdowns on oil. Australia is announcing that as well. So we're screwing the entire world. We're screwing all of our allies. And for me, again, I think this is an everybody is losing. So let's figure it out and get the hell out of this thing. Because to me, there's no
winning
because
they want a world. They want a world.
Right, right, right. There is some winners, but it's not the American people, and it's not the average people around the world. I can tell you that.
Well, the globalists doubled their money while we lost 60% of our assets. Your take on that, Gary?
Yeah. Look. I support the war as long as it's going to be executed correctly. I think we've kicked this can way too far down the road. I think this is a responsible approach to what's going on. We're going to see how it turns out. What I am against, just like Nate and everybody else, is, you know, some unending war where it's going to be an occupation. We're not going to see that. I don't think we're going to see that. But the idea that we can just continue to let Iran be the number one state sponsored of terror all over the world and allow them to become armed with nuclear weapons. I mean, we already see that they actually had a much more advanced intermediate ballistic missiles than they admitted to and that we even knew about. So there was an information gap, an intelligence gap that was huge in that.
No, I know they're way more advanced than they were telling them, but let me ask you this then. Yeah. What about the overall issue of the strait being closed kills the recovery with an inflation? That's mathematics. That's a guarantee. And then the globalists get what they want by that failure. So we have to think about economic warfare.
Sure. And we cannot allow Iran to control the Strait of Hormuz. And I don't think we're going to see that. Like, again, we already have allies coming on to help control that. We've already talked to Trump administration's talked to Japan. He's talked to the French, multiple allies that says they're going to continue to help actually control the Strait of Hormuz. Now,
they have not agreed to that.
They've
in fact, not only that, France and Spain just came out and said that they're actually going to put restrictions on allowing U.S. to use any of their land for anything militarily. That was yesterday.
I'm sorry, you cut out. Who did you say?
France and Spain both.
Our military completely out. France to leave NATO.
They're not coming to help.
Yeah, we're gonna have additional support. There's no doubt about it.
And what is that additional support going to do? The United States Navy is the most powerful navy in the world, and we can't do anything. How are you going to stop Iran's drones from hitting oil tankers?
You don't think that we're going to be able to control the Strait of Hormuz with our navy?
We can't do it right now.
Yes, we can. I mean, it's not going to stop them from attacking, and we're not going to have some sort of non-issues.
There's no Western oil tankers flowing out of the Strait of Hormuz, bro. None.
What's that?
Still. That's why you can go down to the local gas station, look up, and see that gas is $5 million a gallon.
No. There are oil tankers going through the Strait of Hormuz right now. It is.
Well, China and Russia and Iran and India, when they're paying for it in Chinese yuan and paying a $2 million toll per oil tanker there.
No, that's factually wrong.
Well, then why is gas nationally almost $5 a gallon, Gary?
We're at like, what, $100 a barrel right now? We were at like $140 a barrel under Biden. We were having higher gas prices.
We're not talking about Joe Biden. We're still early into the war. Oil can still go much higher. Almost double.
This whole thing could go to hell. I mean, we could look at the worst case scenario every single time, and we can always
headed that way.
What's that?
So what's your end state here? What's the strategic? Here's another thing. I'm a little bit confused because you said Iran is the world's leader in state-sponsored terrorism. Since when is Shia Islam? Since when is Shia Islam carried out the majority of terrorist attacks in the world?
We both know it's Sunni Islam. What are you talking about? Hezbollah. We got Hamas. Those are all Iranian proxies. What do you even mean? And we had
that the world's leader in state-sponsored ISIS has carried out, and Al-Qaeda have carried out infinitely more terrorist attacks than Iran.
Like the IRGC is designated as a terrorist organization. We know that
by the United States, just like all the rest are. My point is, since this is like Fox News talking points, right? Like, ooh, Iran is 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon for 47 years. They're the biggest threat ever. It's like, yeah, okay. All right, but they're not an any bigger threat than anybody else. And I'll also say this. You see this all the time. It's like, well, we got to take care of this problem. Okay, Al-Jilani is the leader of Syria right now and is a welcome guest in the White House. Why are we pretending like things in the past through terrorists are now, we have to invade your country for it?
We're not invading the country.
Doesn't that kind of just throw the whole argument out the window when Donald Trump's bringing Al-Jilani into the White House as an honored guest?
We have strikes.
Let's be clear. You guys can't debate. Gary, Nate, there's no debate. They tried to sell ground invasion the last 2 weeks. Like that's insane. It's been going on.
I agree with that.
Let me ask you guys this question. How do we even know the 1,000 pounds of enriched uranium is anywhere? I know we can track some of it. The idea, I've heard a lot of former current people, they're saying, yeah, it's super risky, but we're willing to do it if they tell us to. How insane is it to try to claim you're going to send special ops in with technicians to try to get stuff with forklifts out of these bases? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean,
in the middle of Iran, I make that everybody's going to die if they try that.
Now, first of all, our capabilities are much better than that, Nate. You know that as well as I do. Like,
yeah, we can't support. I get it, but it's still.
I'm not even saying I support it. But what I'm saying is, we can't do that safely.
Gary, I'm sure you know what it takes. I mean, we do training for this and trying to infiltrate underground bunkers. It's one of the most dangerous things that you can do in special operations. And now you're going to do it in Iran.
Out of this dangerous?
In the center of Iran.
Well, it's not in the center of Iran. It's up by Fordo, as far as I understand, where they actually have the 400
kilograms. Yeah, they know where it is. What's Iran going to do when we put coming?
The media is also, they know where you're coming.
Yeah. A lot of these arguments were made about Venezuela as well. Like, we can't go do that.
Venezuela is not Iran. You're trying to pretend that Iran's military and Venezuela's military.
But we know they paid off most everybody but the Cubans they had to kill. I mean, I agree that was an incredible operation, but that's a cakewalk compared to going to deep underground bases.
Yeah. Just geographic.
And you don't think we can pay off most of the Iranians? You don't think that we have intelligence networks that are actually making deals right now? And again, this is like a little bit of extremely.
Listen, if you've got the intelligence network, then throw the goddamn government over.
I'm with you. I think that's exactly what they should do. But again, what we're saying is
Venezuela, and I hope Cuba. I would support Venezuela because I could study it. This is a whole different. Venezuela is like eating a pig versus an elephant. It's a whole different ball of wax.
I don't disagree that it is
here. What's the strategic victory for the United States here?
That Iran cannot have nuclear weapons. Like that is whatever happens beyond that, they cannot have nuclear weapons.
We already and destroyed that was, all their nuclear weapons 6 months ago.
Yeah, in June that Midnight Hammer was done.
They obliterated everything.
And they're continuing to develop nuclear weapons.
So we have to do this every Gary, you're saying we have to do this every 9 months for perpetuity forever now.
What I'm saying is exactly like if you're gonna have peace through strength, sometimes you got to drop some bombs. What I am confused about is like, are we just going to just completely draw in and just not address any of the world issues?
Well, I don't think anybody thinks we're drawing in under Trump. I'm concerned we're overextending.
Like,
yeah, why do we need to be fighting this war in Iran? Nobody's been able to correctly, other than your typical Fox News. They can't have nukes. They're the world's leader in state-sponsored terrorism. They've been trying to kill Americans for 47 years. Yada yada yada. Got it. Okay, that's not actually what we've seen.
If we're going to characterize that, then you're actually going with the MSN Now talking points. Like, we can't do anything. Trump can't do anything. Like, it's just going to be the worst.
So here's the thing. Here's the big misconception we're having. So Gary thinks a conventional war is going to work in Iran while Iran is leveraging asymmetric warfare against us. Okay? As a Green Beret, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, Trump thinks blowing up targets does something.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me get this. The idea that you're going to bomb Shia Islam into submission, the same people culturally who are willing to strap suicide vests and jump in a vehicle board, IED, and blow themselves up and kill them, you're going to bomb them into submission, a culture that believes heavily in martyrdom after you slaughtered the Ayatollah, killed 200 little elementary
stop.
School girls.
You guys are welcome to come back tomorrow on Harrison. This is amazing. But I want to give Gary Melton closing comments and Harrison Smith takes over. Go ahead, Gary.
I mean, the idea that we're going to rely completely on conventional warfare and that we're not going to use asymmetrical warfare at all is crazy to me. That's not what's being discussed at DOD, and we don't know what asymmetrical warfare that we're conducting. We have plans.
Iran's asymmetric warfare they're conducting against.
Well, if the payoffs work, they should already work. Go ahead, finish up. Close your comment. Let him have
I'm just saying, look, at the end of the day, one of the things that I supported Trump on it, and something like 90% plus of MAGA and Trump voters are still supporting this war. And the reason is because Trump ran on the fact that Iran is not going to have a nuclear weapon. He's been saying it for the last 40 years. I agree with that. I think us investing and taking Iran out now ensures that we don't have a forever war with a nuclear-armed Iran in 10 years.
Oh, no, I agree. We could take them out. That shuts down Russia and China, but I don't think it's going to work. Gentlemen, both, thank you so much. Valhalla VFT, you got a Paramount Tactical. Thank you so much, Harrison Smith. We appreciate a real debate. God bless you, man. We'll be right back with Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.